حضرت ابن عباس رضی اللہ عنہ قال قال رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم There is a hadith narrated in Mishkat, and the narration, this hadith has been narrated by Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. And this hadith, the event surrounding this hadith is such that there was a tribe, Abdullah Qaysh, and when the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he arrived to Madinatul Munawwara, then many people from the surrounding areas of Medina, different tribes would come to meet the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who attained iman and the strength of iman, and they would look at the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then they would accept iman, they would come into Islam. And from them there was one tribe, Qais tribe, and their head, his name was Asji, and he also came with his people, with his tribe, and he came and presented himself in the service of the Prophet ﷺ. And when this tribe, when it arrived to Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, then just people came to see, to do ziyarah. And because they didn't know the sort of principles of adab and manners and respect, because they didn't have akhlaq, because the Holy Prophet ﷺ did the tazkiyah, isn't it, of the people and the sahaba. So it was the Prophet of Allah who taught manners and adab. So he said himself that my coming, arriving to the world, was just to spread and teach akhlaq, good conduct, manners. So the people that he was sent towards, Allah selected the Prophet ﷺ at that time, in that generation, the final Prophet ﷺ, Allah sent him to those people. Maybe on the face of the earth, there weren't a worse and non-akhlaq people than that. They used to worship idols, they did sins. That was common in their life, sins. And even in Hindustan, all of this we see this as well. But akhlaq, there was a reason that these people in the Arabs at that time, they had bad akhlaq, and lots of people lived in the wilderness, in the desert areas, they were nomadic type. So what did they know that what should we do, how should we meet someone, what are the manners of going to meet somebody? They didn't know these things. So these people, this Allah Ta'ala selected the Prophet ﷺ for such these people, the Arabs, and Allah's Nabi did their tazkiyah. He improved them, he reformed them, he developed such a group of people, his Sahaba, that until Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment, no group of humans will compare to their excellence. And when the Prophet ﷺ did tazkiyah and improved his sahaba, whoever saw the Prophet ﷺ, or whoever saw that person, no one can even be equivalent to their status. They were the sahaba companions and the tabi'in, the generation after that, and then the generation after that who saw the tabi'in, they were the taba tabi'in. So the three generations. And this is how the sequence continued of tazkiyah. In other words, the Prophet ﷺ developed his sahaba, they developed the next generation of the tabi'in, and then the taba tabi'in. This sequence continued. And the objective of the Prophet ﷺ was that until Qiyamah, tazkiyah, improvement of the human being, should be done like this. Purification. So the ilm, the knowledge that Allah Ta'ala gave to the Prophet ﷺ, like the Quran and du'as. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, his du'a was that when he was constructing the Kaaba and he was making the Kaaba, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he asked Allah Ta'ala within an event, you could say ajr he was asking from Allah. I'll say that Allah, we have developed your home, and we asking you for Rabb, the dua he did in the Quran. We know that in this verse he was saying, oh Allah, that from my offspring please bring such a prophet that he can teach the kitab and he can tell practically the hikmah, the practice of the kitab, and then he also does islah, he develops the akhlaq, the manners of the people. What a dua. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam did this dua. So then the Holy Prophet ﷺ came as the completion of the dua. He came with the kitab. Three things. That until the day of judgment, no kitab like the Quran will come. Then his tariqah, his method, that there will be no sunnah like the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ until qiyamah, the day of judgment. That was his hikmah. And islah, reformation of the hearts and the people. There will be nobody until the day of judgment who can improve the humans like the Prophet ﷺ did. That where you see that qawm, those people, that for example, if a child, a chick of a chicken, goes into a cave, or he goes into a field, and it's just a chick, a child of a chicken, of a hen, if it goes into another field, or if it, you know, takes a seed, or if there was a plant, or some vegetable, he ate it, then the owner of that land would come. And the person who had a chicken, whose chick it was, he said that you know your animals, yes, the chick, it has come into my land, and why has it eaten? Why has it taken the plants? Then maybe he would have replied to him, and they would have argued, and they were people who lived in the wilderness, they would have had a quarrel, a dispute, they started to fight, and then when they continued to fight, then another man came out, and the people from the other tribe would come out. So both tribes, the fight would spread, then the sword would come out, and the sword would come out from the other side. And they would hit and strike with the sword, and they would hit and strike with the sword, and they would start murdering and killing. So this fight, this quarrel, 40 years this dispute continued. Imagine, this was the people that the Prophet ﷺ came to. Just over a chick, the child of a chicken going to another land. So much kibbutz and pride and anger and arrogance that was present in those people. These were the people at that time. They would bury their daughters alive in the ground for no good reason. So such a tribe and group of people, and then Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he did the dua, that Allah Ta'ala then fulfilled that dua and sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam to that land, to that region. That from those same people then, from those same people who didn't have akhlaq, Allah Ta'ala then developed the ummah, that Allah said, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, that I am pleased with them and they are pleased with me. This is the sahaba, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. So brothers, this is tazkiyah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam improved them, reformed them, developed their conduct, their manners, their character. But today tazkiyah is not done. There's no importance to the subject of tazkiyah and islah. We say that islah and tazkiyah is not a subject of Islam. Islah, to develop akhlaq and manners and conduct. We don't consider it deen, we don't give it importance, we don't think it's a subject, we don't have the knowledge of it. And if we don't have the importance of something, then when will you learn something? If you don't have the importance, if you don't hold something in regard or importance, then why will you practice on it? For example, if we don't know the importance of Ramadan, and then how are we passing through this month of Ramadan? Those people who know the importance of Ramadan, ask them what really is Ramadan and how should you pass through Ramadan physically. This depends on the importance in your mind. Until you don't have the importance and greatness of something, then you can't take the benefit of that thing. Yeah, the human being, if he's acting, practicing and he's reading a kitab, whatever you're doing, whatever you've got, the first thing you need to do, what it demands, the situation demands, is that what is the status of that action in your brain, in your mind, that action that you're doing. So if you have a high status, this is the principle of tazkiyah, that it will be you who revert to the proper practice. For example, you are sat here, it's not me speaking. What is this? That is the depending on your demand and desire to listen, your passion, your love, your desire, then in that way Allah will allow the words to come out from my mouth. It depends on your desire. Yes, I can't speak myself. I can't speak myself. I've seen commonly, really, that, for example, when you're lazy, you're not paying attention, because you're human beings, if you're not in the mood to listen, you're lazy or you're tired, then this also puts a padlock on myself. And I think, why can't I speak today? Then I realize that those who are sitting, listening, the audience, they don't feel like listening. They're not focusing, they're not paying attention, they're not attending properly. So in reality, when you have a proper gathering, proper majlis where Allah's qurb nearness is attained, then it depends on your desire and your demand to learn. Yes, it's your demand to learn. It depends on that. So the wali Allah, the friend of Allah, for example, he speaks in a group of thousands of people maybe, and maybe no effect takes place, that nobody improves as a human being. Thousands of people are sitting in the gathering. But that same wali Allah, he may just go to meet two people. Two people come to meet him and they leave his gathering as friends of Allah. Why? He didn't give a speech there. Just they looked at him, they just watched him, and they became walis of Allah. So here, Allah says, what do you want? What is your desire, your passion? That's the question, mother. Why have you come to this gathering for? Why you sat here in this gathering? What's your niyyah, your intention? What do you want to attain? How much are you sincere? How much are you sacrificing? And what are you willing to give to attain and to learn? How much effort are you willing to put in? Then you will get from Allah. So this is a beautiful system Allah has created. This is a sunnat ilahi that Allah has created. La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wusaha. Allah says that Allah doesn't force anyone to bring them towards deen. Allah says, I don't force anybody. I don't drag anyone. Push, you become wali Allah, you take bayah, you also learn dhikr, you do this action. No, Allah says, I don't force anybody. When in your heart, you get the love and the passion and it tosses and it turns and it develops. That's why Allah has given this dua. Allah, ya Allah, ihdina siratul mustaqim. Allah, open my heart so I can start traveling towards hidayah and your guidance. Because we've got padlocks on our hearts. Yes. We've got padlocks on our hearts. Our hearts are sealed. Allah says, "Akfal," the qulub, the one heart inside one heart. There are padlocks. There are locks. Not one, but the plural is locks. Not just one lock, not two locks. There are thousands of locks that have sealed the heart, Allah, that don't let me come towards you, and they don't let me open up and practice. They don't let me arrive to your nearness. So this. It's not the case that we, our religion, our deen, Islam, that forces you, come, do this, do that, do X, Y, Z. Never. Allah Ta'ala said to His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that your task is just to tell the people, end of story. You don't need to worry and get distressed for them and get scared for them. Allah says, no need. Your job, your task is just to inform, communicate. That's it. Yes, then when they create desire with them, then they'll ask from me, Ya Allah, unlock the padlock from my heart. Yes, because if a Nabi, a prophet is speaking, and Abu Jahl, he wasn't affected, was he? So today we are so far away from that generation, so many years have passed, that there's nothing to say. Don't ask the severity in our hearts. We have no desire, no want, no need. We say, this is the problem today. So deen is in your hand. So when you go to somebody, that even if you go to the biggest wali Allah, friend of Allah, and you got a frown on your face, it's not the fault of that pious person. Because many kutubs and awliya Allah have graduated from his company. It's your fault as a student. You don't have that demand. You don't have a desire. You don't want to improve. But because just as much as you want it, that's what he'll give to you. Oh, I can only do this much, my sheikh. And then sheikh says, okay, then just take this much, just do this much. So it depends on your mindset, that I want to be immersed in the company of this teacher. When I used to go and visit my teacher, Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh, I know my personal experience. And that's what I share with you, my personal experience, my observations. I haven't read these in kitabs or madrasas, nor have I learned this from anybody, were there sheikhs in my family, etc. Nothing, alhamdulillah. Just this, that Allah Ta'ala, He would develop a flower from amongst the desert. He would have let the flower grow. From the desert area, Allah would have let the flower grow. Because this is how people improve. That for Allah, nothing is difficult. Nothing is difficult for Allah. But that's it. The love of Allah came into the heart. I want to get close to Allah. Get near to Allah. That's it. You have to have a desire. So when I went to my Sheikh, Hazrat Sahib, at that time, he was the ghawth of his time. He was the great Sheikh of his time. He was Qutb al-Aktab, high ranking wali Allah of his time, was my teacher at that time, decades ago. And his words, mashallah, his blessed words, that when a person, it's written in the kitabs, that when he was in Makkah and one person came to my sheikh, from his students, and he said, Hazrat Sahib, in the night I saw a dream, And he said, what is it you saw? He said in his dialect, yes, Babu, what is it you saw in the dream? That, mashallah, that people would ask Hazrat Sahib that, you know, I've seen a dream. Kashful Qulubi would have vision. I saw people, for example, if someone was walking along the street, anyway, he'd tell him people that this is his hal, this is his situation. He said, yes, I saw a dream in the night. He said, what is it you saw? He saw, I saw in the night in the dream that Haram, there are two minars in Haram Shreem, and they dropped, and Hazrat Sahib lowered their head, did maraqabah, and said with a cool sigh, yes, Babu, you are saying the right thing. Very soon, such an individual will pass away and depart this world, that he will be the biggest wali Allah of that time, and after that, no wali Allah will replace him in the dunya after that. Subhanallah. And after some months, Hazrat Sahib, my teacher, passed away. So, statements coming. Shall I share that with you? That Allah Ta'ala's friends, they have to be recognized by the person himself. Allah will not tell you this. Allah won't tell you this. You didn't like what I said, eh? You know, I said, the friend of Allah, you have to recognize him yourself. You have to recognize him. What does that mean? That inside you, if you have a demand, a wish, a desire to get close to Allah, then when you see a pious person, you will recognize that person. He's a wali Allah. That this is the well from where my thirst will be quenched. Then you'll start to see that, the reality. You'll see his kashf, his noor, his good effect, his good company, and your eyes will attest, and you'll say to somebody next to you, that, do you feel something here in this good company? And that person who's got empty eyes say, no, I can't feel anything good here. You say, yaar, my heart is opened up. Oh, I really feel good here in this company. Why? Because with the pious person's company, when you sat there with the sincerity and a demand, then you will see the light and the nur in that person. You will see his magnificence, his glory. He's a wali Allah. He's magnificent, his splendor. And the other person will look towards miracles. Oh, can you show me a miracle, please? I need to see a miracle. I can't see anything special about you. Oh, I can't see anything good about you. So look at the difference in the mindset in the two people, the students. So Allah's wali, you have to recognize the wali Allah. You have to recognize himself, realize him yourself. He will never mention to you that he's a pious person. What need does he have to show off in the dunya or tell people that he's good? Because he has got close to Allah, the teacher, just for the sake of Allah. Yes, he hasn't got close to Allah for the sake of showing people that if I get close to Allah, then people run after me and they pick up my bags and they praise me and they call out my name. No, no, no. Nobody has this intention. The wali Allah is close to Allah for the sake of Allah. And he likes it that only he knows this secret and Allah knows this secret, and he opens up in the grave. He doesn't want people in the world to recognize him in the road, in the street, in the dunya, what I was. He says, I don't want anybody to recognize me. Subhanallah. Unique point this is. Unique point. The friend of Allah doesn't want recognition, nor does he like people to recognize him, to be aware of him. That you, Allah, are mine, and I am yours, Allah. That's it. And when the secret will open up, Allah, when I go to the grave. Such people, how do you recognize them? Their graves speak out themselves. They, yes. So, for example, we in the Naqshbandi order, we take fares from the, when you go to the grave of a wali Allah, you sit there, you do maraqabah, you do remembrance of Allah, and near to the grave there's a place, just like my Hazrat Grami Qadr, Nur al-Marqada, that next to his grave there's no roof, there's no nothing, sorry, just the kachi, the mud, and he said that may him bury me near where the shoes of the musallis were in the masjid. Look how Hazrat Sahib hid his piety and his righteousness. He said, after I pass away, I don't want to expose myself. Rather, I should be lower than the worst of people. So where the people came into the masjid to his khanka and took their shoes off, and Hazrat Sahib stood there in the shoe area before he passed away. Did anyone know he's going to pass away? And this was where people took their shoes off. This was his nasiha, his advice. And he put his blessed staff there, and his students were behind him. He said, the Babu, this is where I want you to bury me. He said, that where the musallis take their shoes off to pray salah, come in the masjid. He said, make my grave here. He said, I want to be simple. How simple and humble he was. How much he hid himself and humbled himself. That after I die, I don't want people to think that Ali Murtaza was a pious person or righteous person. Can you see an example of a wali Allah in the world like this? You will have gone to big mazars and places where the sheikhs were buried. What beautiful places have been made, and in nice ways they are decorated, and people get, but here, Hazrat Sahib's grave, there are goats going, they're grazing by, chickens going over. He said, there should be no sign, no placard, nothing on my grave. He said, I want it simple, so humble and simple that no one can dare that he can do anything. That, yes. And for example, people that make the solid graves, he said, don't touch that. my grave. He said, I want it simple. He said to me that don't touch it. He said, don't touch it. That this is the source of faiz to the whole world. Yes, that you don't know what is in this grave. Subhanallah. Pious person. So let people graze over it, animals, whatever. Ajib, unique, wali Allah was my sheikh, my teacher. In the world, I've not seen any example. I've never seen anyone's grave mazar. Look at the history of the good people. The selected wali Allah, unique wali Allah, I'm telling you this. Unique has unique status, Hazrat Zahar, my sheikh had unique status. I never saw a comparison, never did I hear or read, nor any place where any sheikh was buried that he said, make my grave where people, the musallis are coming to the masjid, they're taking their shoes off and putting their shoes here. Yes, in his hal, that big muftis and scholars would come to his company. They would ask after that, where shall we bury Hazrat Sahib? Well, be his Khan Kada. I said, after a person dies, you see status, they want to do this. He said, no, wait. Hazrat Sahib said, Farooqi Sahib, ask him that what did I instruct him? Ask him for the guidance. So Hazrat Sahib, Mulana Iksaq Sahib, mashallah, he has a lot of respect for me and he has regard for me. Hazrat Sahib's son, Hazrat said, no. This cannot be. Whatever Hazrat Sahib said, that is what you have to do. But you think that a person is degraded like this? No, he's elevated in the eyes of Allah. A person who's humble and sincere, Allah elevates. Remember, humility, being humble and sincerity, this is the biggest sign of a pious person, that he lowers himself amongst other human beings. Lowers himself. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Humility, sincerity, this is important. Have you ever seen a person like my sheikh, my teacher? He was humble, sincere, simple, lowered himself in front of people. So brothers, recognition. You are wali Allah, he doesn't tell people. You have to recognize him yourself. You have to recognize him yourself. And how will you recognize him? Suddenly you will recognize a pious person. Suddenly you will recognize, because if you have the desire to get near to Allah, then you will recognize a pious person. These are two separate things. Remember this, what I'm saying. My topic has gone to another direction. These are two separate things. Remember this. Then never can these two meet together. Never. My Hazrat Sahib, Mool al-Marqada, always, all the maktubad, his writings, he gave me nasiha, advice. In his final letter, my sheikh said to me the advice. Because these two things cannot be together, mixed. And this is the biggest deception of a human being. Remember this. Dunya, the world, the love of the world and the love of Allah, these two can never overlap. Both cannot be in the heart at the same time. It can only be one love in your heart. Listen to this, O Darvish people. The person who wants to see that am I successful in my life and that I've got good company with my teacher and my dhikr is successful, then this is the sign. Hubbud dunya, love of the dunya, cannot travel on the same track as the love with Allah. You cannot be the two in the same time. They can't. Both loves cannot be in the same person. I'm talking about love here. I'm not talking about the necessities of the world. No. Necessity of the world are there. I'm not saying leave your food, drink, work, business, enterprise. No. Leave the love of the dunya is what we need to do. Love of the dunya. Yes. Leave running after the dunya. Leave begging people in the dunya. And leave the fear of the dunya, greed of the dunya, pain of the... Say, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah has promised the dunya to me. He definitely will give the dunya to me. Definitely. You don't understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? So two things shouldn't be together. They can't overlap. If that person is in severe deception, he'll be wretched all his life. He'll be cursed in this world and thereafter. My Hazrat Sahib always in his maktubad, in his writings, when he'd communicate with me, Hazrat Sahib, when he wrote to me, he wrote to great Mashaykh and Subhanallah, how Hazrat Sahib, that when he gave me the advice in that, that maybe there was any letter that the Hazrat Sahib did not say, that remember, don't run towards the dunya, that's it. Don't run after the dunya. Don't let the dunya overwhelm you. And alongside the Hazrat Sahib said also, my teacher, that you must protect your shop, run your business, and go there regularly, and run your business, and earn from your hands from your business. He said that to me as well. So do you understand now the comparison? That it's not about running after the dunya, that you, it's not prohibited to earn, and to make profit, or to eat and drink. Run the business, Run your enterprise, but tawakkal Allah. Rely on Allah. For example, a bird, a sparrow comes out of its nest in the morning, a pigeon. What do they have to their name? What tools do they have, the birds, that they'll go and earn? What akal does a bird have? But as tawakkal Allah, it comes out of his nest in the branch of the tree. The nest. Yeah, in the tree, the bird. And it comes out in the morning. And then it flies through the skies, the bird with tawakkal. When you come out in the morning, you'll see the birds, they're flying in the sky. And they look down, where's our rizq, where's our food that Allah's going to give to us today? They look. So they leave their nest empty stomach. When they come back to their nest in the night, it's a full stomach. So who gives to them? Who provides to them? The birds, if Allah can give to the birds, jahil, ignorant people, then will Allah not give to me? O zalim, will not Allah give to us? Will He not provide for our stomachs? Why do we give up everything for the dunya? We beg from people. We lie in the dunya. We beg around us. Oh, for the sake of Allah, give me this. Oh, for the sake of Allah, only You can help me, please, sir. You forget your Rabb, Allah, and you're picking up someone's shoes, begging Him. You understand what the point I'm saying? Yes. So work with your hands and work with, Allah's given your body. Look, my Shaykh, how he done my tarbiyah, how he gave me development and education. Yes, this person, I used to have takabbur and pride, ghurur. I used to have workers, servants, someone cooking this, someone doing this, attendance at home. Higher level of living, you could say. And subhanAllah, then that time came in my life that I didn't know. Then there's two types of crying. One is crying out of love and passion. One is crying out of regret. So when a person cries out of passion, that is due to the love of Allah crying. Yes, it was a morning time, evening time. I used to sweep with the broom in the factory. People walking around me working. And the manager used to scold me, tell me off the boss in the factory. Because he didn't make his sidekicks. If you work in a factory, then they will grind you down and make you work hard. And they'll make you work harder. Do this, do that. Sweep this, clean this, pick up this thing, pick up that bread. And because subhanAllah, that I had lowered myself so much, he said that go there and sweep the brooms in the factory. I didn't have no future at that time, no career. Yes, I didn't go to ask anyone for money. I never applied or knocked on the door of social security. No, I used to live in a broken room. My wife, she used to cooperate with me. She had sabr and patience. Yes, she used to, we had no milk to give to our daughter. And everything I could do at that time, if I wanted to, that I had the means and the resources. Yes, but when you become a fakir, one is by nature you are poor. But if I had rejected and said, no, oh, I don't need to listen to my sheikh and be simple. Within hours, minutes, I had degrees, I could have got big time jobs. And I could have earned haram. And there were many simple ways in this country to earn haram. Yeah, many techniques and tactics that you can adopt to earn haram. There are many techniques and methods here that you can look around you. That, for example, the person will say, I'm poor, but he's got many houses. You say, I've got no money, but he's got bank balances and treasure chests full of money. And people come like this. They run him. They say, oh, yaar, I've got nothing. I've not earned anything. But when they don't, their earnings, if they're not right, they won't let you meet Allah. If you want to learn here and live here, then live here the way my Shaykh taught me. That there's no prohibition of living in the dunya, earning in the dunya. My Shaykh didn't say to me that, why are you going to England? He didn't say to me, why are you going to England? He said, go, then I will enable you, I will make you do the work of the deen. Not one day, 2 days, 3 years I sweeped with the broom. I sold newspapers in the snow. I'm telling you, I delivered newspapers in the snow. And sometimes if I wanted to eat, there was no food to eat according to my desire. Allah doesn't do zulm on anybody. Allah doesn't oppress. Kibr, pride doesn't come out of a person like this. That the greed of the dunya, the world. To cure this, to attain Allah's love, then the love of the world, you have to crush it. You have to step on it. The love of the dunya. Because this is the gathering of darvesh, of good students, so I'm speaking to you like this. There's no hard work to get close to Allah. I swear by Allah, there's no hard work. Just one thing you need to do is you need to lower yourself and bring yourself to humility. Make yourself like a dog. Consider yourself worse than the dogs. As a Mujaddid al-Thani, Ramdai said, that I consider myself worse than the dog and the swine. And he was that sheikh, that teacher, who was the head of sadaqat and honesty. They weren't false people. Mujaddid al-Thani wasn't a liar. Ali Murtaza wasn't a liar. From their tongue, the haq, the truth used to come out. When they said something that I'm nothing at all, then really inside they never considered themselves better than other people. They thought they were the worst of the people. And we inside got idols, I'm this, I'm pious, I'm righteous, and respect me. And can this be like, can we get success? There's a beautiful hadith that, what time is the iftar today? What time do we break the fast? 45? MashaAllah, beautiful hadith, it was a great subject we were discussing. So brothers, tell me, that if you want to get close to Allah, then the path to get close to Allah is you need not recite this many tasbih, do this much prostration, pray this much salah. Alhamdulillah, these a'mal, worship, you get thawab. I'm not saying it's a waste of time. You get the reward. But to get close to Allah, this is not the path just by doing ibadah. Not just by doing ibadah. Allah Ta'ala says you need to remove and make sacrifice to get close to Allah. You have to lower yourself. You have to lower yourself and humble yourself. Because the servant should say to Allah, Allah, you tell me, Allah, what action shall I do to please you? Give yourself to Allah, assign yourself to Allah, lower yourself, and then become a great person. That's how you get close to Allah. So this is a philosophy of that when you lower yourself, and you give yourself and assign yourself, then what will elevate within you? Yourself, Allah Ta'ala will elevate you, that yourself, your nafs within you, your batin will become so great, you won't beg from anybody, you won't ask from anybody, you won't question to anybody, you won't prostrate to anybody, you won't be a sidekick or pick up someone who says, oh, I'm doing it for you, oh, please, you can help me, oh, please help me, oh, please do me a favor. And never will you say, please, please, and beg from people. Never. Because you should elevate yourself and bring yourself to the high status. Allah says, make yourself so high, that you will have no need. Allah will ask you, my servant, what is it you want? I will give it to you. What do you want to eat today? Ya Allah, I want to have mints today. Okay, Allah says, Ya Allah, I feel like today to eat jalebis. Allah says, they will come. I will give to you. That, have you got anything at home? Allah, I want to eat ice cream today. Allah will give you the ice cream. Allah, I want fish today, fried fish. Allah will give it to you. So the kings, he used to say that you are the biggest king, O Muslim. You are the biggest king. That mashallah, they will come to your room. They will come to your home, Allah says. Isn't it? So Hazrat Zakariya, subhanAllah, Maryam, where did all this food come from? SubhanAllah. The anta hadha, where did all this food and dairies come from? This isn't even the climate for fruits. Didn't Hazrat Zakariya ask? The Nabi is asking with surprise that you are sat in a room in your hujra. Where did this food? Why? Because Allah Ta'ala had taken Maryam for his work, for the deen. Yes, and Allah had made her a darwish, a pious woman. Yes, she was pious. So this is the case, isn't it, my brothers? Yes. So Malana scholars are sat here. If I say wrong, then put your hands up, say I'm wrong. That the Sufi is saying wrong, correct yourself, then I can correct myself. Yes, if I say wrong, explanation, then I plead with both hands to the Malanas, the scholars, please correct me so if I'm wrong. So I'm just a simple, humble person. Please explain to me straight whether I'm saying wrong so I can correct. So the Prophet is asking from his pious. Because Hazrat Zakariya was a Nabi and Maryam wasn't a Nabi, was she? Do you understand what I'm saying? So who's asking? The Nabi, the Prophet is asking, subhanAllah, I won't say further than that. That where did this food come from for you? Who's provided this for you? She said, my Rabb is giving to me, my Lord Allah, the Creator is giving to me. Is it that you're getting all the food direct? He said, okay, then please give me a favor as well if you can. Then I also do dua for you, Allah. You Allah, please give me a child, give me a son. So brothers, to get near to Allah, you must give yourself over to Allah. You must assign yourself over to Allah. Don't run around begging. Okay, listen to this point as well. The more you run after this dunya and the world, then the dunya will run away from you. Remember this. Remember this. That when you run after the dunya will run away. The more you run after it, the dunya will run away from you. When you leave the dunya, it will run after you. SubhanAllah. Understand this point. So brothers, that person came. Who? The hadith, remember the hadith I told you in the beginning? Yes, that person. Asja. Asja was his name. It was kept in the hadith as stated. So he was from a tribe, maybe they fought with other tribe, and somebody hit him on his head and his head opened up, there was a wound. And then his name was given Asja. That he was the head of that tribe, of Qais. So when he came and presented himself, to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember this hadith I told you right in the beginning, that there was a tribe who came to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina. Remember this? Those people who came, they didn't know that they were nomadic. They were like from the desert. This is where our discussion today started, wasn't it? Yes. So have a demand, a desire in your hearts, so that something comes from inside me when I speak. If there's one person in this gathering who doesn't have a demand, a desire, then that effect takes place on me as well. When? Then I don't get enjoyment. But when I see everyone's got a desire, then good words come and I speak good words. So if you want to hear good words and nice words, then sit with passion and desire in this majlis. And if you don't want to hear good, then don't come. No problem. Don't spoil the gathering. You sit with a frown. You think it's time wasting, looking at other things. No one's forcing anybody to come here. This is a gathering of love. No one's forcing anyone to come here. I'm not saying that this is fard salah, is it? That you have to come here. It's not fard salah. Every man has to come and enter here. I plead my hands together, brothers. Whoever likes my words, if you don't like my words, you don't think it's fulfilling your objective, your desires, no problem. There are many other masjids around, great masjids, great speeches of malanas. You can go and sit there as well. So if you want to come here, don't waste your time. You are wasting the rest of the gathering's time if you don't have the right intention. So I won't say more than that. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. So if you come here, that person should come here who wants to earn something, gain something, learn something. Everyone should come here begging. And whoever is begging, they should put their hands up when they come here begging from Allah. Subhanallah. Yes, sir. Even the child has put his hands up to say, I understand. Even a small hand, I saw him put it up. Look him. How high he's put his hand up to say, yes, I'm coming to learn. This is how you should do. From the young life, the current's coming to that child. MashaAllah, okay, you can put the hands down. So everyone should come as beggars, requesting Allah, Allah, we've come to your masjid, your home, pour something into our ruh. We are cold, sinful people. Allah, just pour a splash of your mercy inside us so we can succeed. Allah, don't look at your sins. Look at Allah's rahmah, mercy that He gives to you. Look at Allah's rahmah always. Never look at your sins. That if Allah says, my mercy, that we should say to Allah, apart from Jahannam, we have nothing. I tell you the truth. Apart from Jahannam, we have nothing. It's Allah's rahmah. He's allowed us to sit in. He's allowing us to listen to good things. So Asdi, he was the head of the tribe of Qais, and he had a different style of meeting and going to Medina. Even today, my brothers, be careful of this. That when you go to Medina, going to Medina is a very great event to present yourself in Medina. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. So, he started to talk loudly like a mad person when he said, I want to see the Holy Prophet. So Asja, what did he say? What did he do? Say Subhanallah. What was his manners? He very carefully, he took the steps calmly and he took his bags and his luggage and slowly with ease he started to walk step by step. Very slowly, calmly on the journey. I remember an event now, subhanAllah. This is Medina we're talking about. And in Madinatul Manawra, I met a person, and a person from old times who lived there, and he came and sat next to me. He's passed away. May Allah Ta'ala elevate his head. He lived there, he's buried there in Jannatul Baqi. He's buried. And he used to come and meet me regularly. He said, you come every year, you sit here, spend time. He said, I really like you and your jamaat is with you. And I feel like I sit with you and speak to you. I said, do that. Yes. And I said, where are you from? He said, Pakistan. And he's from Pakistan, from a nice area, a Darwish area, nice area, environment. So he said to me that, Hazrat, a pious elder used to come here, he said to me. A pious person used to come here, and his style I saw was very unique in Medina, because he said, I've lived in Medina and I've seen. He said that he used to sit under that kubri, you know, the bridge, like a kubri, something overhanging. How many times you've done Umrah? That sort of kubri is that place that, you know, where the muazzin gives the zan, it's like that bridge, that raised platform. So it's the kubri that's beneath him, below him. The raised platform. So he said that Muazzin's Kubri raised platform, that first pillar beneath his raised platform, his prayer mat used to be spread out there. And he'd come in the morning and he'd get the place same time then. When he would leave, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Say subhanAllah. Medina, and I'm talking about a pious person to you of Medina. So then, He said he used to sit here, remain seated here. Then one day, I plucked some courage together and went and sat next to him and said salam to him. He'd never speak to anyone. He'd be just wrapped in his blanket, his sheet, and where he'd eat from, what he'd do, where he'd go. We didn't know about him. But his practice, his sitting, his love, it looked like the alhamdulillah. Every moment, he must be introducing and being met with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, so he was a very great wali himself, this person speaking. Every second they're exchanging their current, the affairs, the blessings. So I used to listen to what he said. So he said then that I just plucked some courage together, pulled myself together, and I was a bit disrespectful. I did du'as and I asked him a question. That Hazrat, please introduce yourself. Who are you? And then he had such red eyes and deep vision. He looked at me and he smiled and said, why, how can I introduce myself? I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I've just come here for ziyarah. I sit here for ziyarah. And he said, what is your blessed name? Respectful name. He said, the faqir's name is Ali Murtaza. Subhanallah. Ali Murtaza. I am a miskeen, a simple person. I just come here from Gadai. I live in Dera Ghazi Khan in Pakistan. He said, I'll tell you his story. So he's telling me. He's telling me. He must have got kashf that he's my sheikh. He started to say that once. He said, then it became a habit that I used to say it regularly with Hazrat Sahib. And then what shall I tell you after that now? He said. So he said that I had love with him for Hazrat Ali Murtaza. Then I got success through his company. So he said, Hazrat, I saw once that very slowly Hazrat was walking and he would come from Bab, which door? It was quite a long time, I haven't gone myself. Babul Majid, when you come out from the right side, what is that door? I can't remember what door it is, the name that is given to it. So that was the habit that Hazrat would come in there. I'm talking about Masjid Nabwi here. So he said that, so very slowly, carefully, Hazrat Sahib's coming, I went to put my hands together and said, Hazrat Sahib, is khair? Is everything, have you got any pain, any difficulty? That you're coming like this so slowly, you're coming in. He said, no, I'm fine. He said, what's the reason you are coming so slowly and like this? Hazrat Sahib said, the answer that he gave, you have to listen to the answer. He said, the Holy Prophet ﷺ is resting, may not be that, you understand, he's resting, relaxing, may not be that the voice from my feet, that it gives him any pain or difficulty, disturbance. Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah. Do you enjoy what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Well, look at the walis of Allah, how they are, SubhanAllah. So he said, from my eyes the tears came out. So this was his maqam. He can see that Rasulullah is resting, relaxing, and so much adab. I don't want that the noise from my feet. He wasn't even moving his feet. I don't want to disturb the Prophet ﷺ. So this is Medina. Those people who go, listen and think carefully before you go. Think carefully before you go. Go with adab, manners. Don't wash yourself, purify yourself, and wash your heart before you go. Why? Because everything you get based on your demand and your desire, whether it's Medina or whether it's the Medina of a ghulam of Medina. Medina is the city, yeah? Medina is a city. What a great statement. Whether it's Medina or whether it's the Medina of the ghulam of Medina. So what does Medina mean? Medina means city. City, town. So even there the adab, same adab apply. Also you should go there as well the same way. And you should take your footsteps and movement the same there. I'm telling you the right thing here, yes. Be careful. Even there totally this system is followed as well of adab and manners. Because the connection came from there in the beginning. From that background, yes. So understand this point. The connection is from there, from Medina. It may not be that you come from Medina and when you go to the next Medina you don't pay attention to it. Don't do that. Then you will also spoil where you came from. You'll get across. And here also you'll spoil. You don't understand what I'm saying? Yes. So be careful. So is there a demand? Is there a desire? Look at that. So this is the difference here. So when he came, who? Asjia. How did he come? Carefully, luggage, his goods. This is that time when, subhanAllah, the dunya was being developed, when the Prophet ﷺ was doing islah, improving the people. And so what happens? That he's coming, the time's closing, so this is a beautiful event. So we need to do a bit of dhikr as well. So I don't feel like I leave this event, I don't feel like that I cut the discussion short. So how shall I complete this? Okay, I'll try. He said, so slowly, slowly, carefully, carefully, he's walking cautiously. What do we call this? Slowly, calmly. Calmly, like I said in the hadith, aftah. That these are two words in the hadith, hilm al fatah. This hadith I read in the beginning. He said, shall I say it to you again? In fika khaslatan, khaslatain. Yuhabbul yawmullah. So what was that? Hilm and afata. And narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. So carefully, cautiously walking, then he stopped and he dusted down his bags and his goods, did ghusl, took a bath, changed his clothes, changed his attire, and improved his appearance and made it neat and tidy. That was his style of coming. Totally, he put himself nicely. Whatever he needed to do, he did. And everyone else has arrived already. Yes, they're going there quickly. And he hasn't arrived yet. And Jibreel alayhi salam is coming down to Hazrat, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A message from Allah is coming. This is darveshi, humility, my friends. Have adab, manners, and you'll have good destiny. You have disrespect, then a disrespectful person shouldn't even come to the gathering. He shouldn't even come. I just tell you with respect here, I put my hands together and I plead. Don't come to the gathering without adab, without manners. You will go into loss. Allah looks at the hearts that with which mindset and is he sitting, with which intention, or how tight a heart is he sitting in with, out of hardship, etc. Allah says, I know these are not those majalis that a person should sit like this. No, you shouldn't come there like that with a negative mindset, negative portrayal. I speak openly and I share these points with you. May not be that tomorrow you get a loss. Yes, because there will be a loss of the hereafter, not the dunya. Dunya will continue. Oh, nothing's happened to me yet. People say that. Abu Jahl said that. No, I'm still fine. Nothing's happened to me yet. But he will realize when he's thrown in the grave. Now, Abu Jahl, do you know now what's happening? The way you have arrived to? So these are the same points and words. All of them that have the pain in the heart, desire in the heart, request in the heart, sincerity. But you have waswasa and negativity. Don't go to the good gatherings with negativity and waswasas and evil thoughts. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala knows the hearts. Yes, if you by chance do go, then do istighfar in your heart while you're there. Do Allah open my heart, Allah open my heart, Allah soften my heart, Allah get rid of this, allow me to get rid of this negativity and waswasas. I'm telling you the adab of the gathering. So what did he do? He wasn't even a proper Muslim yet. He didn't even know he's going to meet the Holy Prophet in his blessed company. And look at his condition and emotion. What was he said to him? He arrived. And when he arrived, Jibreel alayhi salam had arrived already. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he welcomed that person. How? The words of the hadith I'm telling you. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam praised him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam praised him. And he was amazed himself. And after praising him, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Asja. He smiled and said, that Allah's message has come for you. Allah's message has come for you inside you, that you have two special qualities, two unique qualities. And he's amazed. And Ajib, unique, not me, because your Rabb really likes your qualities. Allahu Akbar. And if Allah, your Rabb, likes you, then why shouldn't Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam like you? Subhanallah. So what a great statement, huh? So every person has a style of sharing hadith, and this is my style of sharing and teaching this hadith. So tell me. He said, two qualities within you such that your Rabb, your Lord Allah has sent the message that I really like his two qualities and characteristics. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I also like you for that reason. So shall I tell you what are your two characteristics that are great? And he doesn't know what qualities he's got. Yeah, Rasulullah said, these two, hulum wa fata. Hulum is that second one? That being slow and calm and measured, your adab, your respect. Allah Ta'ala really liked that. Allah has made you His beloved. Allah has made you His beloved. So inshallah, I won't say this, I don't promise, but if I feel okay and fine and I feel mentally, and if you have the demand, then this hadith I will continue tomorrow, inshallah. And tomorrow we'll discuss what are the two special qualities for which he got great rewards. Why? Because me saying and for you to sit, the objective after hearing this hadith, that we should also demonstrate those qualities that we've heard. Not about storytelling. I'm not here for storytelling. Or to increase the ilm, knowledge. No, my end is just this, that we, you know, we're just simple, basic down people, that we also develop these good qualities, that we can also become the beloved servants of Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So tomorrow come early, present yourself to listen. If it's in my mind and you have the demand, desire, then we will continue this hadith. Okay? So now let's make the mindset for dhikr in a beautiful way now. Let's select some kalamats for dhikr and we will recite this inshallah. Recite Durood Sharif.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.